I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With those plans.
Hello and welcome to episode 20 of AI Movie Night. Tonight we're going to be doing a spoiler cast on Rogue One. Obviously we've done a preview of Rogue One and now we're going to spoil everything right throughout the film. So if you haven't seen it, please have a listen to our preview pod. Go to the cinema to see the film. And then have a listen to this pod afterwards. So we're just going to go straight into it. I'm joined again by, you know who I'm joined by. I'm joined by Gags and Andy Wales, two great guests. Gags, obviously the host of the excellent Gags Tandon Show and new host of the On The Box podcast, which is well worth a listen. How are you doing, Gags?
I'm good. I'm really excited to talk about Rogue One. So yeah, thank you for getting me back. I had no doubt I was coming back because me and Andy kind of are your go-tos for Star Wars. So yeah, loving it.
Definitely are. Great. Thanks for joining me again. Look forward to hearing your thoughts. And I'm also lucky enough to be joined by Andy Wales, host of the excellent Reds Review podcast. And like me and Gags, a massive fan of Star Wars. How are you doing, Andy?
Yeah, I'm doing a good job. Been looking forward to this, but I've got a feeling I might not be too popular with some people.
Well, it'll be good to have a little bit of a contrasting views on the pod, so I look forward to hearing why you think
Darth.
You might be.
Don't be going against Darth, mate.
Be careful. You know what Gags is like. So I suppose, obviously, there's been so much hype about this film in the build-up. Obviously, we joined in with that. We were so excited. Did it live up to your expectations, Gags? And please try and keep it relatively brief, because obviously we'll be going later in much more depth.
I'm going to be so brief. Yes, it was a Star Wars film. It lived up to it for me, yes.
Fantastic. So emphatic from Gags. What about yourself, Andy?
I'll say maybe my expectations were a little too high after all the talking we did before the movie, the pod we did before it was released, the preview one, and I've got to say, I'm afraid it didn't quite live up to my expectations.
Sure. Well, I look forward to hearing exactly why that is later on throughout the podcast. I suppose I'm probably in the middle. I really enjoyed the film, but I think, a bit like Andy, I think my expectations were maybe too high and impossible expectations from my perspective, because obviously it's very difficult to live up to so much hype and so much, people waiting for, a full year for a film to come out and having this big build-up. So for me, it probably just fell short, but there's very good reasons for that. One of the big questions that a lot of people on social media and elsewhere have been asking is it better than The Force Awakens? And I'll start with you on that, please, Andy.
Definitely not for me. Well, without question, I felt that The Force Awakens was the better of the two movies. It's not to say that this is that Rogue One's a bad movie. Not at all. It is a good movie. But without question, to my mind, Force Awakens was a better movie, and I certainly enjoyed it a lot more.
What was it about The Force Awakens that for you elevated it above this?
I suppose it's that je ne sais quoi, you know, that Star Wars magic. It had, mm-hmm. it just had that extra special feel about it. Something intangible that is something about Star Wars that you can't quite sort of put your finger on. You know, as someone who's watched it repeatedly for God knows how many years, a lot more years than I'd care to recall. You know, it's a part of my childhood. It's almost a part of my identity. I've watched the movies that many times. You know, being a fan, had the figures. My children now watch them and have got the figures and the Lego Star Wars and everything. You know, it's just such a part of life. This movie is more than just a movie. It does have a magic about it. I think The Force Awakens kind of encapsulated that magic, but I don't think Rogue One quite caught on to that. There's just something not quite there for me. And I mean, we'll go into more detail as we go along, but it was just a bit too slow for me.
Okay. What about yourself, Gags? Where do you stand on that one?
It's so hard to compare these two films. They're totally different for me. I think obviously the biggest thing missing is the Force, and I think maybe Andy's talking about that as the magic that's not there. There's so many things you can tie in to this film and say, right, how can you judge between the two of them? I personally think it's so hard. They're two separate films for me. One of them is like a throwback to A New Hope. There's some new characters in there. They're building new characters, great, whatever. But then obviously Han Solo's back and you see that character and you just die, you know? You kind of just like, yes, I love this already. He's back, and then the comedic stuff between them, and then the hurt as well in it. Everything was Star Wars. It was great. This isn't supposed to be that. This is not supposed to be an episodic, you know, movie. Mm-hmm. I thought we covered that in the preview where we said that we can't expect it because there is no Jedi, there is none of that they've made clear that this is an in-between movie. But like you're saying, how can you combine it? I've had a bit of a think about it now that we're recording this pod for the second time. I mean, I'm going to judge it on a few things. Originality. Rogue One was more original. Yeah. Direction. Probably Force Awakens was better. Action, I'd say Rogue One, surprisingly, because of what happens in it. Main characters, no doubt, Force Awakens. You know, no doubt. The main characters, how they built the youngsters. Side characters, though, Rogue One, I think. There was quite a few new ones. And then villains. I think people know how I thought about what happened with Kylo Ren in the end and how I went mad at that. So I suppose it can be a tie on that. But when Darth's back, you don't touch Darth, you know. And then music, well, you don't touch The Force Awakens, do you? Because of the something specialness that. So I suppose that's where this falls, is that it's not an episode, but it's got so much going for it as well. Joe, it has. It really does have, and it built some people up really nicely, and we're going to go into that in a minute. But yeah, I thought there was pros and cons, but overall, I think it delivered, especially the ending, really, really delivered.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're both saying there. I think The Force Awakens, for me, obviously Rey and Finn, who Gags touched on, I think they were just really charismatic and much more likeable characters. But equally, this was a much more original film, and you know, it was a safer bet, The Force Awakens, because it had so many of the Star Wars touchstones. Obviously, this one has plenty of callbacks and references to A New Hope and other films from the original trilogy, but it doesn't copy to the same extent or pay homage to the same extent that The Force Awakens does. So I think, you know, obviously it does lack certain things, like you've mentioned, the Force and Jedi and things for the most part, but that in a way, like Gag says, I suppose is a strength to some extent because it's more original and you're seeing characters who aren't part of that Skywalker saga. So I suppose what I'm saying essentially is they're both very good in their own way, although for me I probably enjoyed The Force Awakens slightly more, but in some ways I'd say this is a better film, so it's interesting. Like,
what did you like about Force Awakens so much?
Well, I think the main thing, probably it's a bit of an obvious answer, but it's got to be Kanji Club, I think. You know what I mean? It's what, you know, what else do you need? So basically, that's the thing that elevates it.
Oh, fuck's sake, the Kanja Club. The Scottish language, yeah, Kanja Club. How many times did he say it? Kanja Club, Kanja Club. I was like, what the fuck?
It's funny how it's become such a big thing now, but I don't know why. I just love that, and clearly so many other people do as well. At first, I hated it, but now I sort of think it's boss. There's something, I don't know. Just something endearing about it, really.
He's so out of place, mate. It's so
It is. It is. It doesn't feel Star Wars at all. But no, love that bit. I suppose best get into it. I could talk Kanji Club all day, but I don't think anyone would listen. So probably best move on. So obviously, clearly, there's a lot you like about it, Gags. What particularly do you think was done so well in this film?
It's a different tone. A movie is even darker a little bit. The other things is like how in the first three films the rebels are all together. They're all at sea here now. They're all at sea. Everything's fucked, you know. And I thought some of the builds of some of the new, because that's storyline wise, the Jedi's aren't there. You know that. You know who's going to save? Is this tyranny going on in the galaxy? They're building this unbelievable fucking Death Star, and there's desperation. There's absolute desperation from the rebels. So they need to do anything. And obviously that's the plot in getting this, Jin in because of her dad and her father and what he's done. So that desperation shows they really need to get to there and find out and get her to find out what he's done or what he's doing, if there's anything they can do. And then the other bits part of it was real. It felt like, you know, they used some really good places like Scarif, for example, the battle where that was, that looked gorgeous. I thought there was, what else was good about it? The comedic relief from K2SO, stuff like that. We're going to go into him later, but there's so many bits, you know, like some of the character development in terms of, Chirrut. He was such a great character. The Force side, the angle of that. And, you know, and also loved how they tied so many things in with, A New Hope. There's lots of characters from that film we can go into as well later. What were their names? And Mr. Walrus, and we were talking about it before the pod, weren't we? What were the two names? Yeah. I've forgotten them already, but
Dr. Everson and Ponda Baba.
Ponda Baba. What the fuck? You know, they make it just little links that really excite you. Moff Tarkin. How could you? I mean, when I saw him, I thought of Andy Wales. You know, it's crazy, but why would I think of Andy Wales? I mean, but it's because we've been talking for Star Wars now for a few years, you know, with the previews and whatever, and we covered all this, and he always goes on about this guy. And then when he turns up on the screen, I was just like, my God, Andy's going to love this. And it fucking turns out Andy hated the film, but okay, sorry, it's a strong word, hate, but do you get what I mean? It's just like, whoa, that's what I thought. But there's so many other bits as well. Like, I don't know if I spoke about it, but the start of the film, there's little links or depth to the film as well, where you see her flashing back with her dad, and he's linked up with Krennic, and they're all having a laugh and a joke, eating, drinking. They're trying to show that there's history to the relationship. It's not just he's just turned up on this fucking, you know, this in this world, and that's it. He's taking Galen away. They tried to build it. It's like I said, if you try and build every character with depth, right, in this movie, where there's so many new ones for us, you need two movies, I reckon. You need the first one to fucking start up all the history of it, and then the rest of it. And then you've got her mother, who's got this crystal, you know, that passes it on to her, and she's saying Force. She's talking about the Force a lot. That crystal's very similar to the stuff that Chirrut talks about afterwards, and obviously he links with her, because that's what links her to him, is that he sees the crystal on her. So there is depth. If people don't see it, you got to look. I mean, I've watched it three times, Joe, so there's a bit of depth. What I also like was some of the stuff with, you can see, like, what is it? The Empire is a bit humanized by Krennic as well, but we'll go into Krennic later. But there's stuff like that. Jedha is beautiful. It's just Star Wars for me. So those are just a little bit of the things. And obviously the ending. Darth Vader. If I don't mention Darth Vader as a good thing in this movie, shoot me. But Darth is everything at the end of this. It really is.
Summed up so many of the things I enjoy in the film there. In particular, it is a beautiful film. I particularly love that first planet with Galen, with the contrast between the green of the grass and the black of the soil. And then obviously Krennic arrives and he's all in white, and obviously Galen's in black, and the contrast, and it just looks brilliant. And that continues throughout the film. I'm glad you mentioned Jedha as well. It really felt like you said, it felt like Star Wars. It had that sort of mixture of modern technology, but a real lived in dirty, grimy feel to everything. It seemed like a real place that belongs in that universe. And as we know from the prequels, that's not always easy to pull off, but that felt in that same universe. And that was such a joy. And I suppose the thing I enjoyed the most was the darkness and the ruthlessness shown by certain members of the rebellion at time. It really brought to life that this is a war, that people's lives are dependent on it. And sometimes, you know, people won't always be honourable, whatever side they're on. It showed that sort of, you know, the greyness. It isn't just this Manichaean struggle between good and bad. There's a lot more grey areas within it. And I really loved that. I thought it was a refreshing addition to the Star Wars world. What about yourself, Andy? Obviously, I know you're not as big a fan as Gags or myself, but clearly you enjoyed parts of it. What do you think went well?
I mean, kind of clarify. I don't think it's a bad movie. It's not that I didn't enjoy the movie. I did like it.
You're only saying that because Moff Tarkin was in it, aren't you?
Well, it did kind of brighten up when he appeared, like, I must admit.
It was only 10 minutes in, you know. It was only 10 minutes in. Shut up.
Hey, leave Moff alone. I think what it did well was the second half of it. That's the thing for me with the movie. It was the pace. It was a slow. It was a really sort of slow start. It was a slow burner, but once it found its pace, once it got going, it was a good movie. I think if the first half had been akin to the second half, it would have been a great movie. And like I say, I did enjoy it. It was a good movie. But the second half was really good. Some of the characters, as Gags has mentioned, some of the characters were really good. You know, Tarkin being in there, I mean, I loved that. I wasn't expecting that. It was great. Just spectacular almost, you know, the way that they did it. And the final scenes were just sublime. But it's just the first half of the movie for me. It is a little bit of a shame. And it's hard saying this as a Star Wars fan, because it is a part of, you know, the story. But they did do some, you know, they did a lot of things really well in it. You know, lots of little things here and there, you know, using Jedha, and the fact that, you know, that destroyed Jedha as a city, that in itself made sense, you know, as to why it wasn't in any of the original movies. You know, that kind of, it's almost like tying up a loose end. So they did do a lot of stuff well, but there was other stuff that wasn't quite so good.
Can we just mention special mention for the blue liquid in the on that island? In that world you talked about at the start, where it was exactly the same as Rogue One. It's exactly the same as New Hope, where Luke's drinking stuff. Yeah.
Who played the blue liquid?
I don't know. It was me. I wanted to be in it. But by the way, this film took $980 million, so getting close to $1 billion now. Which is, come on. That's pretty damn fucking sick.
That's rivaling Anfield Index, isn't it?
I fucking win! I want to be here. I want to be talking Star Wars. I'll be fucking making it. God.
It is. It just shows you the power of Star Wars.
Number one movie in the last year. There you go.
It's an absolute juggernaut, isn't it? It really is. Clearly, obviously, Andy's mentioned obviously the pacing for him, and particularly the start he wasn't fond of. What about yourself, Gags? Was there anything about it that disappointed you?
Some characters weren't built as we expected as a team. We're a team, three of us, aren't we? I think when we did the preview, a lot of the things we've said in the preview were right, okay? Mm-hmm. The war, the ending, yeah. What happened at the end. I know some of you are surprised, we're going to talk about it later, but I expected a lot of it to happen. We also expected people like Whitaker and Riz Ahmed to have much better roles for the names that they are right now. I mean, mm-hmm. Riz Ahmed's probably not as big as what Whitaker's achieved in the industry, but recently he's got a lot of stock, you know, in what he had done in TV.
He's very hot, isn't he?
He's very hot.
In terms of the talent.
So, obviously, he's hot now as well because he's been in Star Wars and it's taken $980 million, whatever. But I didn't think there was much in the role for him to really make something of it. I didn't think there was anything for Saw Gerrera. I thought it was poor. I thought it was a poorly written role, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just didn't see anything in that. I didn't see much in Riz Ahmed either. He kind of just turns up, gets brainwashed, and then does nothing or whatever. It just isn't. There wasn't enough there for me. Do you get what I mean? And those type of things really put me off. Not put me off. Sorry, I really enjoyed it, but I was disappointed that they didn't go further with stuff. I was hoping that they'd bring some kind of, you know, the force in the light side. But there was nothing. But I suppose that fits with the movie because it is dark. So, you know, and there was darkness. So, thankfully, at the end. But, those are the things that I think they could have used some of the characters or defined some of the roles. But like I said before, it means that they're 3 hours long. Also, Galen as well. So, I really didn't give two shits that he got killed at that point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you watch the movie, the way they build it, you're supposed to give a shit about that because... You know, you give a shit about it, Jin. You do want her to succeed. But when he dies, you don't feel sorry for her, which is what they want. The whole point of that scene is that you want her to go and kick some ass now. But I don't think there was enough build for it. I don't think there was enough. No, those were the bits I didn't think I cared enough, you know, about them. Saw Gerrera dying meant nothing to me, for example. Yeah.
No, I agree. I don't think Riz Ahmed or Forest Whitaker got enough to get the teeth into. And, you know, almost anyone could have played Riz Ahmed's role, whereas he's someone who's capable of pretty much anything. So it is a pity he didn't get more to do. And Forest Whitaker, I think he's the type of actor, so talented. But if what he's given to do isn't worthy of him, he can be quite poor or, you know, bit cartoonish at times, but I think that's probably more of fault with the script for some of his parts, really. What about, obviously, Gags has mentioned some of the performances there. What about yourself, Andy? Were there any performances or characters that you were disappointed in particularly?
Yeah, I was very disappointed with the Saw Gerrera character. As a big fan of Forest Whitaker, I mean, we spoke on the preview pod, I was really looking forward to him, and it was Maybe that had an impact itself on you know, just how I saw the movie. You know, I was very underwhelmed by that character. It was, like Hag said, you know, it was poorly written. And just for me, the whole sort of first half of the movie was a bit too slowly paced. And that, I mean, I'd already said, you know, once it did actually find its feet and start to gather pace, it became a really good movie that I really enjoyed. But it was such a slow burner. And you don't mind a slow burner, you know, build into a crescendo, you get that. But I think it was slow for a bit too long, if you know what I mean. You know, some things are a little bit slow at the start, but then they start to gather and you get the intrigue. I think this took a little bit too long to really get going and find its way. I will say that I know I've watched it twice. The second time I watched it, having the first time was all about your expectations, isn't it? And the hype, and it doesn't quite hit that. So the second time round, you know what to expect and you watch it. And I think you do watch the movie differently. And I did enjoy it more the second time. It did come across on the whole as a better movie, but still that first half is a bit too slow for me. And I think that is, aside from some of the characters and perhaps a missed opportunity in a way of, you know, a little bit more of, there must have been some kind of relationship there between Saw Gerrera and Ursaw, you know, that whole thing, the way that was set up. I think they kind of missed maybe, you know, plugging a few more gaps in that relationship as well. So, yeah, it's I don't want to go too much into the characters because we're going to do that later in the show. And
yeah,
but the pace was the big thing for me. That really was, and it just didn't quite, like I've said, it didn't quite have that Star Wars magic for me. But it was a good movie. It was a good movie. All right, yeah, let me make that clear.
No, fair play, because we don't want you getting any stick. I think obviously we've mentioned so many of the things that disappointed us in the film. One of the things that disappointed me, obviously we've mentioned Forrest Whitaker's character of Saw Gerrera and that performance, was the creature that could read minds and the whole Bogulis bit. It sort of took me out of the film. it felt a bit prequely.
It was shit.
Yeah, it just didn't seem, I don't know why. I don't like it when there's a creature like that seems so powerful anyway, because it sort of, to some extent, feels like it diminishes everyone else if it can read anyone's mind.
Joe, it had no point in the movie. There was absolutely no point. Jin turns up, right? So obviously he knows that this is all going to be okay. You know, I just thought, what the hell? He's got that message that he could just watch and it'll be fine, yeah? Why did he have to put him through this bollocks? And what did it do anyway? They all died. That place got blown up anyway. So Saw Gerrera and that thing, Paul Kulik, whatever the shit thing is, died anyway. Like, there's absolutely no sense of that in the film. That was one of the bits as well that I forgot. Thank you for reminding me. Jesus.
Yeah, he could have read minds, but he could not foresee the place being destroyed.
It wasn't Mystic Meg, mate. It was just a mind reader.
it just seemed a bit out of place. I know it's hard to bring in new creatures and for them to be, you know, for them to work, but I just think that was quite poor. And I think it sort of, to some extent, is part of why Saw Gerrera's character was cheapened a little bit. Obviously, he'd been built up so much, and I just don't think it paid off. And that was definitely part of it for me. But obviously, we've concentrated on a lot of the characters who've underwhelmed us, maybe, in it. Were there any particular gags that you really were impressed by? Any performances or characters you really enjoyed in the film?
Yeah, I thought Jin was good. She played the lead role well. And I thought, obviously, K2SO was absolutely fantastic in what they introduced with that. Chirrut was my favourite, though. I thought Chirrut brought so much to the movie. You at the end, you give a shit when he passes away, you know? You absolutely do give a shit with that death. You don't want him to die, you know? You don't want him to die, and you just think... The whole force angle with him is excellent. He's blind. His senses are heightened, as you would expect of a person that's blind, that the other senses are heightened. But this guy is super. He's like a ninja. You know, he's absolutely just destroying these stormtroopers and actually making you laugh while he does it. He's the comic relief, like K2SO. The serious part, K2SO is totally laughing a joke. But this guy is. Got depth to him, so he's funny, but then he's also serious as well, and he's loyal as well. There's so much to this character, because he's loyal to Jin once he feels that she's, you know, that he actually just trusts her immediately. He says, I can sense that she's clean, you know, and then he can sense that, what's his name, Cassian, that he's, there's something dark about him. There's a grey to him, you know, like you mentioned earlier, Joe, about how, you know, the desperation angle and how this is more gritty and they have to do some nasty things because the rebellion's so hurt now, and he can sense those things, and it's such a good character. That was beautiful, and especially one part that I loved the best was when they put the bag on his head and then he goes, are you for real? I'm blind. You know, and you just laugh your head off because you're like, it is really some really good scenes in there with him. And, you know, one with the Force is one with me. It stays with you after the film. You know, his lines, some of the lines that he says, stay with you after the film. And that's the key. If someone can say something in a movie and it sticks with you afterwards, I think then that character's done well. And I thought he was actually the number one character in the end. For me, I enjoyed the most. I was disappointed, actually, that he didn't get more action scenes at the end. You know, when the battle was going on, he didn't get more hand-to-hand combat, and it was more, you know, the proper I suppose that's real though, isn't it? You get a war.
Yeah.
When you get into war, it's more shooting each other rather than, you know, hand to hand. So I suppose it was realistic, but it would have been nice to see him do a bit more of what they showed at the start of the film. That would have been fantastic. And it's a shame we're never going to see him again in the movie. So that's one of the sad bits.
You know, I'm so glad you mentioned Donnie Yen's performance as Chirrut, because I think you've touched on something really impressive about his performance in that character. It's so rarely done as well. I think he had such a like quiet dignity about him, but could be extremely funny as well, and also extremely good at acting. And obviously you get all of these films will have people who can be funny, but it's very rare you have someone who has that sort of gravitas and that sort of dignity, who can also do the funny stuff as well without losing any of the sort of heart of the character. And he was able to switch, you know, for those moments, like you said, about getting the cover put over his head and that. He was able to switch into the comedy and switch back, and you still take him completely serious as this, you know, dignified man.
You're right, because you know when he walks in front of the stormtroopers and he's doing the force stuff, and they're about to shoot him, and they go, "Wait, he's blind." And then one of the stormtroopers goes, "Is he deaf?" Because they're telling him to stop. They're telling him to stop. It's just there's some really good one-liners in there that Star Wars does pull off, you know, at times.
Oh, totally, totally. What about yourself, Andy? Any characters or performances stand out for you?
Like you said there, you know, Donnie Yen was so good. I really enjoyed that Chirrut character. And it was just such a nice balance between the serious side, you know, the fighting, you know, that he kind of, he had that sort of presence about him on screen of a Jedi. You know, you could actually believe that he was Jedi. But it was such a nice balance between that and the comedy. You know, it wasn't like a comedic character. It was just, he's the way he delivered the lines, everything. It was just, you know, it wasn't just the character. It was his performance and his delivery. And it was, he did really kind of catch, I suppose, steal the spotlight in a sense. He was so good. I really did enjoy that character and the K2SO character as well. You know, there were lots of humor in that. Just in the the soul, he is so literal, you know, and it was, I don't know, it's kind of like continuing that, you know, that history that Star Wars has with the droids bringing kind of light relief throughout the movies. And those two, and I do think Felicity Jones did well as Jyn. You know, I thought she gave a good performance, not like outstanding, but good. And I thought she was believable in the lead role, and the chemistry that she shared with Cassian, you know, towards the end, the way their chemistry developed. He was another one for me, Diego Luna, who played Cassian. I thought he came out of this, you know, he seemed to get better and better as the movie went on. And I would guess that, you know, he's a guy coming out of this movie who will, you know, step up in, you know, and start getting bigger roles, and we'll see him a lot more often, because I thought he played his role really well as well. He's and there's another one. So, and of course, Moff Tarkin. I have to mention Moff. I thought he was brilliant.
I knew you'd have to mention Moff. Don't worry,
it was great. It was great seeing him. I just loved that again. These little connections between, they're really good, and the way that they did them, it was good. Like you say, it wasn't my favorite of the movies, and it did disappoint me at times, but it did have some really good bits, and some of the characters were some of the best bits, so to speak.
Would you mention Moff Tarkin, Andy? What were your thoughts on the CGI? Because there has been a little bit of controversy around it. Some people say it took them out of the film. Well, obviously, clearly, I know you love the Moff Tarkin character anyway. How did you find the CGI? Did it take you out of the film, or did it work for you?
Not at all. It was great. I must admit, at first I was thinking, my God, they've got an actor that looks just like him. They've done him up to make him look a hell of a lot like him. We're going, hang on a minute. Why, it's CGI. It's astounding how they do it.
Yeah.
But it's great. You know, see seeing Peter Cushing back there, because, you know, for such a brief character in the original movies, he left such a, you know, a lasting impression. And yeah. and to see him resurface again and just kind of to re-emphasize, you know, just the power and the influence he had and, you know, just what a position he was within, you know, the story, so to speak, you know, and how ruthless he was. It was great to see him back on the screen. And the CGI, I'm afraid, it was done so well that it absolutely did not take me out of it at all.
No, me neither. My daughter, we both sat up, you know. Like we mentioned earlier, it made us think of Andy. But we both sat up and thought, went, what? And then I had to explain to her that this man's obviously dead now. You know, and she was just like, oh, wow, that really does look like him, you know. And for Krennic, you know, Mendelssohn to get some screen time with him. Imagine, you know, it must have been, they're both, I think I've seen the preview, and they're both big Star Wars fans. Mads Mikkelsen, is it?
Mads Mikkelsen.
They're both massive, massive Star Wars fans. And, you know, imagine what you're thinking there if you're Mendelssohn. You're thinking, I got to get time with Moff Tarkin and Darth Vader on screen. Oh, like, there was real, you know, like, pride when you watch an interview with them and you look at it, and well, for Mendelssohn especially, he was just like, it was brilliant. It was brilliant, so well done. And it, again, one of the things that made the movie, because it was a surprise, they kept it quiet. When it turned up, you actually sat up, you know, everyone sat up and watched, just like the end of the movie. But I'm gonna hold. I'm saving it.
I look forward to that part. I suppose with you touching on it there, obviously, what did you make of, you know, Ben Mendelsohn's performance as Krennic, and obviously his relationship with, you know, the likes of Moff Tarkin and Vader? What did you make of all that, Gags?
It seemed to me like a guy who was desperate to really move up in the villain, you know, in the force, in the dark side of the forces. He wanted to be, you know, this is his idea, this whole thing of building this blimmin' Death Star. He wants the credit. He wants to meet these people, you know, the you know, the Hitler of the time, whatever his name is, is going to be the Emperor. And then the Force, the power, Darth Vader, he wants to get their blessing. He wants to be a powerful person in the Empire, and he's close, you know. And obviously he's not trusted either by Moff. He's not trusted. He's going, as if you're going to do it, as if you're going to, it's going to work. And then he proves it to him by destroying a city, you know? And then Moff's like, I apologize to you, you know? But still, you've got shit to do. And then he's got to go and prove himself again. And Ben Mendelsohn is great, actually. And he shows power. He shows tyranny. And, you know, obviously destroying a city is disgusting, you know? And he does it with glee. He's like so proud of himself. But then when he's in front of Vader and the first appearance of Vader, which is superb, by the way. Superb. Oh, yeah. I love seeing that. He's displaying a weak, nervous wreck so well as well. You know, this is supposed to be a powerful person. He's just destroyed a fucking city. And then he's in front of Darth and he's just putty in his hands. You know, and then Darth says the line, you know, don't choke on your aspirations. And it's beautiful. It's one. People thought it was cheesy, right? Some people have moaned about it on social media, and I'm like, "Fuck you! I'm never forgetting that line now. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I want to say it to people, especially Nina. You know, I want to say it to people. So it's just So some things were done well, and like I said, he. What's funny about Ben Mendelsohn is, you know, when they're on Scarif and he goes into the whatever that place is, they're in the headquarters, and he sees the beach taken over, and he goes, what are you doing? Come on, get out there and fight. So he he can act, we know that. And I think he got enough of a role to show those sides of him. So yeah, I was happy.
I felt he was having fun.
I was happy that, you know, like how we built him up in the preview. He actually did well, unlike the other two. He actually got the role to do it.
Yeah, he did. He did. I like that. I like his ruthlessness and his, you know, his sarcasm. You know, I think he says something like, it's a miracle when Lyra reappears after he's been told she's dead, even though he doesn't for a second believe that. you know, and as you, and you know, his ruthlessness when he kills all the engineers, you know. And I also like that, like you said before, oh, yeah, when he meets Vader. I love that when he meets Vader, and it's like, it's almost, you can feel the sort of clash in his character between being afraid of Vader, but his ambition's so high that he, even in front of Vader, he can't help himself a bit, and obviously he then gets slapped down and force choked by Vader for it, and I like you really like that. What about yourself, Andy? What did you think of Ben Mendelsohn's performance as Krennic, and obviously those, you know, scenes with his superiors?
I thought it was interesting. It was certainly interesting. I've got to say that as a character, mm-hmm. I wasn't particularly bothered about him through large mm-hmm. parts of the movie. You know, he could have died or lived, you know, at many points, and I wouldn't particularly have cared that much. And again, maybe it's like Forrest Whitaker's, maybe it's more about the character and some of the lines and maybe at points how it was portrayed originally than the actual actor itself. But as it you know, further into it, where it became more impassioned, you know, and that scene between him and Tarkin where it basically kind of dawns on him that Tarkin is going to steal, you know, the everything from him, you know, that this yeah. vision, you know, these ambitions that he's held all this time, you know, this great plan that he had, this vision and this weapon that he thought was going to be his, you know, vehicle to you know, reaching the very top of the empire is all going to be taken from him by a guy who's above him and who was just as ruthless as him, if not even more ruthless, and the passion he showed in that, I thought that was. That was probably where he started to really sort of almost like step out of the screen. Mm-hmm. So it was, I thought it was an interesting performance, but not, I'd probably say like more memorable moments rather than, you know, a really sort of memorable character.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you.
You know why you didn't like him? Because he went against Moff. That's the truth.
Exactly. Exactly. If you do that, Andy's not going to back you.
I won't be satisfied until Horinda reworks a picture and I'm in it as Moff Tarkin.
Andy, I know you're listening. That's it now.
He'll do it. You know what he's like. Oh, I look forward to seeing that myself. Obviously, the main part of the film is obviously trying to get these plans to the Death Star. What did you think of the whole concept of Jyn's father, Galen, building in this weakness in the Death Star plans, Andy?
I liked that bit. I did. It was interesting. Again, it's almost going back to what I mentioned earlier about there was almost like an opportunity missed of that relationship between Erso and his family and Saw Gerrera. You know, mm-hmm. we kind of hint towards it, and you know, it's almost like a passing reference, but I think there was perhaps there was opportunities maybe to have sown a bit more of the seeds there, joined a little bit more of the dots on that one. But yeah, I did like it. It was a very interesting concept, and I think it was like a nice twist, you know, that this sort of the weakness that was identified in the Death Star as it's kind of come across in the original Star Wars movie was purposely put there, you know, and it was all a plan, and it was all laid there and ready and set up, you know, by the guy who's, you know, who was almost working against his wishes to, you know, being there, that his ultimate revenge would be to give someone else the opportunity to destroy it. So I thought it was a curious twist and a different concept, and I did like that, I must admit.
Yeah, I think I did as well, because obviously that was one of the criticisms of A New Hope. You know, some people had in the past said, you know, why would something so impressive have this, you know, this one weak point exposed? And, you know, some people didn't like that. And I think it was really cool that they were able to come up with a good explanation for why there would be this, you know, massive weakness within the Death Star. So I thought that was quite a cool thing.
Because it's one of the questions, benefits. Isn't it? Isn't it one of the questions in A New Hope? Like, you start the film and, like, wait up, he's looking for these plans. You're like, well, how did all this happen? There's a big story missing here. You know, and you're like, okay, now we know. And I think it was, I wouldn't say perfect, but I think it was the right way to go. I think it makes it believable. Surely they set it up enough with how he's taken away from his family, how his wife was murdered in front of his eyes, you know, how he hasn't seen his daughter for all that time and where she is, whether she's alive or not. What can drive a man to work for the Empire for so long? Where that is the type of shit that can drive you to doing that and have a revenge mission, you know? That is the type of thing. So it would have been nice if they showed him with Riz a couple of scenes, you know, sending him across.
I think that's a bit of a constant theme for us here. That's one of our criticisms. I think a lot of the characters, you just get told about their relationship. You don't actually feel it. You know, you don't feel that there was, you know, it's hard for me to believe there was ever a relationship with Galen and Riz Ahmed's character or with Galen and, you know, Saw Gerrera. Obviously, we're told about it, or Saw Gerrera and Jin, but you don't really feel it. And I think that's maybe one of the things that, one of the weaknesses that definitely comes through for me. So I think you've hit on a point that definitely resonates with me there.
Agreed. Totally agree.
Yeah.
Needed two films, and didn't it, really?
Yeah, well, you say that, and I know, and there is a lot of truth in that, but we can all think of films that have multiple characters, you know, your Dirty Dozens or whatever, and if it's done well enough, or Tombstone, one of my favourites, if it's done well enough and skillfully enough, you can, with some characters, you only have to have a moment. And at the moment, can be really powerful.
Overall, it worked. We're being really nitty gritty here.
Oh yeah. Oh, definitely. It definitely worked. But I suppose we're splitting hairs. I suppose these
for sure.
You know, wanting it to be even better. But no, you can't argue. And like Andy said, in particular, that second half, that just motors, doesn't it? And you know, there's so many characters where you really do feel for these characters, you know, for a Star Wars film, you know, where a lot of these characters are new, you really do feel for them. So I am being overly critical there, you're right. So they're just my sort of thoughts and feelings, really. But no, take your point, definitely. I suppose, obviously, there's so many enjoyable scenes in this. Is there any that particularly stand out for you, Gags?
Oh God! Do you want me to save it for the end? Save that one for the end. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so
aside from the obvious,
then anything with K2SO when he's predicting their deaths. Every time there's a chance of this happening. There's this much chance of her killing you. There's this much chance of us dying on this. You know, pretty much anything that he did was fantastic. I've already mentioned some of the fight scenes that I liked. I thought the war at the end, the battle, is great. It's everything that we talked about in the preview happened, you know, TIE fighters, X-Wings, and, you know, the battle on the ground as well. There was everything there, everything. Yeah. And they didn't disappoint us, and we got to see a lightsaber at least. You know, and that's the beauty of it, that they did give you that bit. Mm-hmm. And I will talk about that later, but that was nice. That was nice. Those scenes are the best. I liked the camaraderie between Chira and, is it Baze?
Yeah.
That was good. They came out well. I think you guys have mentioned the Jin and the Cassian stuff. Those scenes are always good. Yeah. Apart from that, I thought there were loads of good scenes, but Those were the best ones. I thought the Rebel War at the start in Jeddah was good too. You know, the battle. That was really gritty down in because obviously Saw Gerrera's men. And a couple of them were really, really good. Like the guy with two tubes out of his face. Mm-hmm. He was quite good actually. I thought he was quite a good little character. Could have been built on a little bit, but yeah, there were really good moments. There were really good moments. K2SO stole a lot of the scenes when he was in them, to be fair.
So good, wasn't he? I mean, so many good lines, and it's such a great idea that he's got this fault. That means he just says whatever he thinks, and it's just so good. And like, you know, I think one of them, he says, I'll be there for you to Jin.
And yeah.
The captain said I had to. Yeah. He says charming. And I just think that is so brilliant. And the performance by Alan Tudyk is just, you know, because all the way through, he's so sarcastic and so funny. But obviously, he's a robot. But when he gets destroyed at the end, you really feel, you know, you feel really sad
another,
for this robot.
Another performance that you give a shit about.
Oh, yeah. Totally. And then just, possibly, I know I could get shot for this, possibly my favourite droid in any of the films. You know, obviously, I have a childhood affection for R2 and C-3PO, but just so many great lines and just so different to anything else I've ever seen, I think. To be honest with you, for a droid, particularly in that universe, just fantastic. What about yourself, Andy? Any particular scenes stand out for you that you really enjoyed?
The same for me in terms of the battle scenes. Certainly
Moff
towards the end. The what?
Moff Tarkin.
He's trying not to mention it. Don't encourage him.
The bit where he blows everything up. Yeah, that's it. Them battle scenes, or towards the end, they were really, really good. They did them so well. By that point, you know, the movie had, really got into the pace, and it was like you said, it was motoring along, the tension was building. It becomes, you know, so good by then. It really gripped you, and them battle scenes, I really, really enjoyed them. But I have to say, you know, the one scene that just totally takes it for me is the final scene. It just, that was like, it was like, you know, an extra Christmas present. It really was. It was a surprise present for Star Wars fans almost. It was just beautiful and just so brilliantly done as well. They definitely saved the best till last.
Because it means even more now, doesn't it, Joe?
It does.
I mean, people will actually go and watch that at the end again, because I think some people, when they watched Force Awakens, didn't see the same Leia. But in this one, you get to see her how we always saw her, and that's going to be our last memory of her. It's quite beautiful and fitting, isn't it? That?
It is.
Because she looked great. They did another great job.
Yeah.
No, well, that was another actress there. It just that whole thing, you know, to recreate leading into the beginning of New Hope, it just brilliant, really. It was just like, you know, to give you that, it was, you know, after going through front story to then, you know, give you that, there you go, and this is where it all fits into place. It was just absolutely sublime. I just loved that final scene.
Yeah, it is magical, and I don't know whether you were the same as me. The first thing I wanted to do afterwards was to watch A New Hope again, and I suppose that's the greatest sort of credit to the film you can get, because I haven't watched that in quite a while.
I went and watched the first 10 minutes. It was perfect,
because it just felt, didn't it? Just really did feel, because I imagine it'd be quite easy for them to do that and it not feel the same. Obviously, that was done, you know, 30 years ago or whatnot, and it's like, it really felt like these were the same people and the same places. And no, it's just done so well. And I think I'm glad you mentioned that, Andy. It's like, you know, very poignant now as well, with obviously what sadly happened to Carrie Fisher. But no, magical. What about gags? Obviously, we've waited long enough, and I know me and Andy can probably take 5 minutes here. Did the return of Darth Vader live up to your expectations?
Had he just done that scene with Mendelsohn and then gone, I think I would have cried. I really think I would have. I really would have been pissed off, but you know what? You watch, you wait, and you watch, and then you see these guys trying to get this disco, you know, away. And in the mist, in the darkness, up comes the lightsaber. And all of a sudden, he's, you know, everything's reflecting off the lightsaber's light in it. And it's just magnificent. And then you see what you've waited for, the Force, the dark Force. And he's throwing things around. He's choking people. He's throwing them out the way. He's got their guns flying. He's reflecting the what's it called? The lasers with
laser bolts.
Yeah, laser bolts with with his lightsaber, and it's perfect. And he looks mean. He looks young. He looks fresh. You know, he actually looks the way he's walking. It's with power. He looks like a demon. You know, it's just magnificent. And he looks like he's going to kick ass. And it's exactly what he does. And those guys that are dying, they're screaming for their lives. You see the fear. They got the fear across brilliantly. And you just want to I went and watched the second time. And then the third time, I only went to watch that scene. I could have slept the first 2 hours, and I would have woke up, especially just to watch that, because it was all I wanted to see. And I was praying. I was like, I wish they could have just had another minute or two of it, of just showing the evilness. You know, I wanted him to see chop someone's head off or something. I don't know. I just wanted more. It made me want, and that's really good, isn't it? When something like that happens, and they want, you want more of Vader.
Particularly how much you love Vader and how much build up you'd had to that scene in particular. For it to, it sounds like it met all your expectations, which is so impressive because it's so hard to do. Such an iconic character, and no, it's just the.
Me and Cuzzy, we're like. The Darth Vader fan club kind thing. We were on like DMs talking about it when he came out of the cinema, and we were just like, "Oh my god, how good was this?" You know, and that is the kind of thing a fanboy does, right? They want to see the favorites, the specials. I actually want to. It's a shame how old he's got the voice. You know, he's because they. I would have rather they do a Vader film. You know, those early days. Of when he turns into Vader. Mm-hmm. I'd rather see the tyranny. I'd rather see that.
You mean
that.
The prequel?
Yeah, no. But they didn't do anything, did they? They didn't do anything in that. They just show him born in as Vader and that's it. I want to see the aftermath.
Episode 3.5.
Yeah, I want to see... no, but it doesn't have to be in the episode because they don't have to have... Because obviously everyone's in hiding at that point, right? The Jedi's are hiding.
You just want 2 hours of Vader kicking ass.
That's it. I just want to see 2 hours of Vader killing people. Honestly, I just want to see it. I want to see the evilness. Because it must be, when he was young, it must have been so powerful. Much more powerful. And like, sorry, I'm just being stupid.
No. I love your passion and how much you enjoy that character. And obviously that
dream
scene
come true,
with Vader.
We always hoped, right? We get to see something fresh from Vader or a fresh scene. And you know what? They made it happen. How nice is that? It's perfect.
And it actually makes him, I don't even know if this was possible, but it actually makes him more scary because obviously we've seen him face off with people and stuff, but it's normally been either like someone who's no threat to him at all or someone who also has a lightsaber. But this was him facing off against soldiers who were trying to hurt him in an enclosed space for the most part. And you're just seeing how dangerous this man is, you know, how dangerous he is and how, you know, he just went through them like they were nothing. Yeah. And it'd just be so scary.
It's just brilliant. It's just brilliant.
No.
And, you totally know, he's going to catch them. He's going to catch them because you know he's going to catch them, you know, because he's standing there and he's really vexed and he's like, right, don't worry, I'm coming. And then you watch New Hope and he walks through bodies everywhere. Brilliant. Really well fitted together. Really glued beautifully. They one thing they achieved was, like you said, you go watch the other movie and it's perfectly fit together now. And it's like we always talked about that machete order. Mm-hmm. Now there's a whole new way of watching Star Wars. Sure. You watch Rogue One first now, and then you watch New Hope, and then you watch Empire Strikes Back, and then you go and watch Episode 2 and 3, and then you watch Return of Jedi, and then Force Awakens. That's how you introduce Star Wars to a newbie, to get all the beautiful bits that we got growing up. That's how you sell it. That's how you get... My daughter watched it in that way, so that she'd get the shocks, she'd get the twists, you know?
Yeah, it's great. It's great to have those options. We're spoiled, aren't we? Definitely. What about yourself, Andy? I mean, obviously, there's not much left to say, I suppose, after Gags, but I'm sure you enjoyed that as much as us both.
Yeah, it was all right.
Andy,
I couldn't resist that. it was good seeing him, wasn't it? And they were good scenes. I did enjoy them. Obviously, again, you know, as I've said already, you know, Star Wars was a part of my childhood, and I still love it today as much as I did then. So, you know, seeing this iconic villain from your childhood, you're just such a massive star, you know, of movies and merchandise and everything. You've been surrounded with these characters for so long. To see them, you know, resurrected in a new and a slightly different way, it was good. And it was certainly enjoyable to watch.
Oh, I think there's only one last question, really, I suppose. Obviously, we all had our ideas of what would happen in this film. Obviously, the main characters, Jin and Cassian, were successful in their mission, but obviously they didn't survive. And we probably won't see, unless they show any backstory for either of those characters in another film, we probably won't see them again. Were you surprised by that at all, Andy? Did you expect them characters to survive and maybe see further, you know, further stories involving Jin in particular? Were you surprised?
I was a little, I must admit. I think that's just because we're so conditioned, you know, and just so used to the heroes being there at the end, you know, particularly in the type of movies, you know, because it is, it's that.
I can't believe you did that. You expected that, both of you. I'm really surprised that this was on the agenda.
I don't know.
Because I said at the end of the pod, they're all going to die. Remember, I said there's only one way it's going to work, that they all die.
Yeah, but even still, watching the movie, you still, because you're so conditioned, you know, this being such a, you know, that traditional setting of good versus evil and that good will overcome, that maybe, you know, one or two characters go, but I think you have become sort of, your mind's been trained to feel that there will be some way that they do get out. It just, I don't know, it's, though you are kind of half expecting them not to make it, you still almost do. So it is kind of a little bit of a surprise, certainly in the format of you know, the traditional Star Wars theme, but
even just economically, Gags has told us how much money it's made. Very few films will kill off such a big character who they
virtually
have further exploits with.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd say it was a brave decision. And like Gags is saying, I think it saved the film that they did that, because it is a more realistic end to that film. So it was refreshing in that way.
Yeah, I mean, they could easily have got away with, even if they said, all right, that Jin's died, and that would kind of make sense that you never see her, and that you know, that Cassius lives on, and he's, you know, he's just a pilot. Or, you know, that dies or something like that. You know, there would be ways that they could easily kind of branch off and you know, find a creative way of writing them out of why they weren't a part of any of the other episodes. But it is brave, and it is very, very different to like you say, what we're conditioned to seeing and thinking.
I'm not even going to ask Gags that, because clearly he knew what was going to happen. And I can't argue, it's on the pod.
Yeah, it's on the pod. I actually expected them all to die. I thought the obvious ending for this is, because they can't take it any further, is that they somehow get those plans up to that ship where, you know, like in, well, I didn't even go that far in thinking, I totally slipped my mind, but whatever the start of New Hope is, I knew that they'd link it together. You know, because they mentioned the we knew it was about the Death Star, but I just didn't think. I just knew that there was no way out. Vader stays alive. If Vader's in it, everyone dies. Vader stays alive. Everyone else dies. I mean, it was surprising that Krennic died, actually, but it makes more sense now, because they actually had Moff in it, and Moff is the one who does everything. You think it's his idea? And again, it's beautiful, because they build that. They build that in there, that he wants it off him. He wants that idea off him, and he's going to take it, and he gives the order in the end, doesn't he? Yeah, just fucking blow it up, don't matter. Kill him as well. Kill them all. We can't have this shit going on in the against the Empire. But yeah, I actually am really surprised that you both thought that none of it would happen. But I expected it, and like you said, it's very novel that they did it, and they didn't go with the normal goody goody. Someone survives, you know. We can have a sequel, people. Nope, they've just absolutely battered it all. Like, you know, it all gone, and they killed off most of them before. the final scene. So, you know, throughout the war, the battle, they made it realistic that they were getting overrun slowly, and all these people died. Riz Ahmed, you know, Bodhi or whatever his name is, Brody, and then all the others died as well. Baze, everyone died slowly, and then they did the big one and just wiped him out. But they gave you the feel good that, in fact, the movie served its purpose, because Jin served a purpose in her life. That was her sole purpose in the end. If you think about it, her father had gone through all that. She basically made sure her father's life wasn't in vain.
Yeah.
And that was the message I took from it in the end, that it was all, it served a purpose in the Star Wars universe. I mean, perfectly.
I think that's a great place to finish. Summed up perfectly well by you both there. I'd just like to thank you both for coming on. Thanks to everyone for listening. We always enjoy talking Star Wars and getting the feedback from the listeners. So thanks very much for all of that. Where can people find more of your work, Ags? That was your opportunity to say On the Box Podcast.
You can find me on the box.
Everyone knows where they can find
Gags. I'm either on the box or I'm under pressure. Get it? No, there's this.
And the Gags standards. There's loads.
I'm juggling a lot. I'm really trying to make a go of On the Box right now. I really am. Unfortunately, we won't have a weekly show this week. So it's been weekly for the last 3 or 4 weeks. It's been doing really well. But this week, just wasn't able to find the right people for a show. So I'm going to watch some more TV, put some more stuff together, take a week off from that, because I've done a Gag Standing Show this week. So that'll be out before this, so it should be out already, so check that out. Can Liverpool, you know, is this our year, is what we titled it. So yeah, interesting to see what the results come out of that one for Liverpool. And I'm keeping really busy, trying to get some things going and do something different, enjoy, especially doing pods like this is a lot of fun. Gets away from the Liverpool stuff for a bit, and gets the other passions going. So thank you, Joe.
Brilliant. Thanks very much for coming on, Gags. What about yourself, Andy?
If you really want to, you can follow me on Twitter at Andy Armchair. Of course, I do the Reds Review podcast on a monthly basis. It's just a monthly magazine of all things Liverpool Football Club. Just summarise things and have a bit of fun, bit of a trivia in there, a bit of fun. Look ahead to the next month's games and whatnot. That's out there. The last one was with Nina Kauser, where we did December and a little bits and pieces of 2016 as well. So there'll be another one of those at the end of this month. Also do some writing for Anfield Index and EPL Index. And I have the wonderful Trev Downey has narrated my last few articles. So please do go check them out, because Trev adds a layer of velvet to my words, and I can't get enough of it.
I'd echo that. I'd definitely read Andy's articles and listen to the pods that him and Gags have mentioned. But please also check out AI Audible, Trev Downey. Great to have him back. Great to have him feeling well enough to be doing this type of thing. He's a great part of the Liverpool community, and just a great guy and very good at what he does. So give those a listen. Also, Nina is fantastic. You know, we all love her on AI. So please check out AI TV with Nina. It's only going to build that now. So please check that out. And please, you can follow me on Twitter at JoeSimpson79 or at AI Movie Night. Always welcome feedback or film suggestions. And thanks once again to my guests for coming on and to anybody for listening.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.